How many of you, I can answer this question. How many of you have been more spiritual at different times in your life than you have been at other times in your life? Raise your hand. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. I want the Holy Spirit to work in your lives to help you level out and be consistently spiritual. Okay? That's a hard thing. But if you come to church and read your Bible, you can get there. Now, one of the things that you need is this principle. How many of you know what it means to make a decision? How many know what it means to make a decision? Raise your hand. Okay. Somebody tell me or define for me decision. Can you give me a definition for the word decision? Nobody, everybody's scared to death. Brother Don, come on, help me. Okay, that's pretty good. Assessment of risk and reward. Or an assessment of better or best. Or an assessment of stay away, stay away, stay away. I mean, a decision could be a lot of different things, but every one of us have to make decisions. And my goal as a pastor is to help you, encourage you, pray for you to make good decisions. So everybody needs this word. Now let's follow with me. We're going to study this principle today. Notice Colossians 1. Look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, heard you got saved. That's what he's talking about. Do not cease to pray for you. So it's all important for us to pray for each other. Now watch this. And to desire, now that's me, I desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all, here's the word, wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, now I want you all to have wisdom. But it's not because I want you to say, well, I'm like Solomon. I got wisdom. I heard a basketball player yesterday. Listen to this. He was 0-for-11 in the first three quarters. And then in the last quarter, and his team was losing. And in the last quarter, he got hot and hit three threes in a row and pulled his team to a victory by 4 points. Okay? So they interviewed him. Now keep in mind, he went 0-for-11. I mean, he's killing his team. But he gets lucky and he gets the last three buckets in a row. And she said, hey, what do you attribute the fact that you're able to help your team win? And how'd you come out of 0-11? He says, well, I want to humbly say I'm one of the best basketball players in the world. How do you say that? I mean, that's not even, you blew the definition when you called yourself humble. And you blew it even worse, all the way out of the boat when you said, I'm one of the greatest basketball players in the world. It's like, come on, guys, you don't get it. Now, look here. Wisdom would help you look at that situation and say, well, I've got some great teammates. Or I got a great coach that just encouraged me to keep shooting and maybe that would fall in place and I'd finally score. He could have said anything, but not that. So wisdom helps you and I say the right thing and do the right thing and make the right decisions. And so now watch this. Keep in mind, we're talking about wisdom. We're going to get into the definition in a minute. I'm going to give you the definition and the decisions we make and the directions of how we get it. So number one, the definition, it's this. Watch this. Look, if you would, in verse number 9, it says, this is Colossians 1:9. And notice the last phrase, with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And here's the purpose. Here's the purpose for all of us. Here's the purpose for wisdom. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's the purpose of wisdom. That's the purpose of good decisions. That you might walk worthy. Now, none of us can be worthy of the great King of heaven. But there are people look at us and say, wow, he's a good Christian. That would be the indication we're walking worthy. But then there's a second person, and it says, unto all pleasing, he is happy with you. So you're trying to give a testimony so that people look at you and say, wow, he's a good Christian. He's really trying to do what's right. He's walking worthy. But then you look up and say, is the Lord pleased with him? So wisdom is to help you and I have a testimony before others and a reputation before the Lord that the Lord says, I'm proud of you, unto all pleasing. That's the purpose for wisdom. To help you and I, every one of us, make the decisions that let people respect us and let the Lord be pleased with us. So having gotten the purpose, how many of you have ever made a decision that you said, that didn't please the Lord? You know, we all have done that. Or how many of you have ever made a decision you said, you know, if I had that one back, I wouldn't have hurt so many people, or I wouldn't have hurt so-and-so. I mean, all of us have done that. The goal of wisdom is to protect you from that. Now follow with me, the definition. There are three specific words that will help us get to that definition. The one word, look if you would, in verse number nine, be filled with the knowledge of his will. The first word is knowledge. Now, knowledge is the facts of Scripture. It is the words of Scripture. It's the commands of Scripture. If a child says, I want to walk worthy of my parents and be unpleasing unto them, and so I am 6 years old and my ball goes across the street and I want to go get my ball and the cars are passing by, I remember a command of my parents that says, don't cross the street unless I'm out there. Okay? How many of you have ever given your children a command like that? Let me see it. Okay? All right? Now let me ask this. How many of you have ever said, you can do it, but you got to look both ways first? How many ever said that? Okay? How many of you ever said, don't cross the street, period. I'll go get it. How many ever did that? Okay. So all of us have got these commands we give our children, and so we want them to walk worthy and walk pleasing. And so as our 5-year-old child is going and sees the ball go across the street, we want him to think and say, the knowledge that I've got, my mom said, don't cross the street. But that's my ball. But mom said, don't cross the street. Now, our goal as parents is to teach them to obey us, not just to walk worthy and please us, but it's to protect them. So it's very important that you train your children to obey for their own good. But in the end, it'll be good for you too. You'll be proud of them. So the Lord says, thou shalt not covet. Well, that is good for us, but it's also a blessing to him because it pleases him. But when we start coveting things, we make all kinds of bad decisions and offend people. And so we have to be very careful. But you first thing you got to do is have the knowledge of God in your heart. I've met people that didn't know. Let me give you an example. I've met people that I'm talking with. They're living together and they're not married. Now, how many of you know what that's called? They're living together and they're not married. What is that called? It's called okay in our society. Okay? What's it called to the Lord? Somebody tell me. Sin, okay? What kind of sin? It'll be the definition would be fornication if they're not married, or, you know, maybe one of them is married, it's adultery, and the other one is not married, or they're both married, then that's adultery. If neither one of them are married, then that's fornication. Those are the definitions in Scripture. So thou shalt not commit adultery. There's a command of Scripture. So I make my decision, my life, based upon those commands, that knowledge. I met a lady one time, she looked at me and said, Pastor, I didn't know it was wrong to live together. How many of you know that's wrong? Raise your hand. Let me see your hands. Okay. All right. Where did you get that? What's that? Bible. Anybody get it from your parents? Okay. Now, they're not the lawmakers, but they're pretty important. So everything ends up when it comes to knowledge of what this book says. Now there's practical things that we teach our children that are helpful to them and protecting of them and make us pleased that are not in Scripture except children obey your parents and the Lord. Okay? One of the things is don't mow the grass barefooted. Okay? That's not in Scripture. But can somebody tell me why you don't want your children to mow the grass barefooted? Anybody tell me? Tommy? Yeah, you might slip and cut your toes off. I mean, you don't have the grip of a shoe. And if it hits, you might not hit your finger, your toes first. They're gone. Hit your shoe first. You might get your foot out in time. But the idea is don't mow barefooted. How many of you, now listen, I am older than 29, okay? And the other day I was weed eating. No one's ever told me, don't take the weed eater. How many of you, when you've been weed eating for 30 minutes, what do your pant legs look like, guys? Somebody tell me. What's that? Full of grass, okay? So I'm going along. I'm not thinking, number one, I'm not thinking. I see it, and I look at my leg, and I see it's all covered up with grass. Now, what I've been doing, I've been taking the weed eater. How many of you have ever done this, taking the weed eater and blowing off the grass off the sidewalk? You know, just kind of, because I don't have a blower with me. How many have ever done that? Let me see your hand. Okay, one, two, three, four. Okay, so my mind is I'm blowing off the grass, blowing off the grass, blowing off the grass. And I see it on my leg, and I go, psh, to blow it off my pant leg. Judy, don't look at me that way. She goes, like, are you dumb or what? You know, no one ever told me not to do that. How many of you has ever been told, don't use the weed eater on your pants? See there? Oh, your dad tell you that? Oh, my goodness. No one ever told me that. But I'm in the mode of blowing it and blowing. I just blew it on my pants. You talking about hurt? Oh. And I had red whelps on my leg. Now, look, that's knowledge. And there's this thing called common sense. But sometimes we get into the mode of things we're doing, and if I'm 70 years old and I do that, man, there's no hope for my grandchildren unless I tell them, don't do that. So you teach them knowledge. The Word of God is God's knowledge to us. You have to have that in order to make a good decision. Okay? Now, notice the next one. Look here. The word is understanding. Look at this. Now, with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, understanding is the ability to comprehend God's word and its importance. It's the ability for it to make sense to you to where you want to do it because it becomes in your heart. Now, if my dad would have said, son, never use the weed eater on your pants, that would have been knowledge. But if it didn't get into my heart and say, that's probably going to hurt my leg, it could. But if I got my leg pant leg out far enough, I could probably just hit the pant leg and not get my leg. And Brother Don, now see, Brother Don's a lot older than I am. So he knows that is not a good idea, Pastor. That is not going to work. So again, knowledge, but understanding gets the knowledge into my heart. Okay? I look at it and I say, well, I'm going to agree with the knowledge that God said to me. So I read in Scripture, I never committed fornication. I never committed adultery because God's word was placed into my heart, taught me, and I agreed with it. So I had knowledge and understanding. So it protected me. Now let me pause for a minute. Okay, now watch this. Now notice, if you would, here's in verse number 10. Verse number nine again, being filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So now wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and your understanding, what's in your heart, and apply it to a decision. Okay? So now notice with me, if you would, number two, the definition now is the ability to take the knowledge of God's word, the understanding of our heart, put them together and make a decision and say, don't use the weed eater to blow your pant leg off. Okay, now that's wisdom. Can somebody tell me the difference between wisdom and experience? Can somebody tell me? What's the difference between wisdom and experience? We're just looking at wicked principles now. What's the difference between wisdom and experience? Back in the back, Carolina? So I have both now. I have the word of God that says in Pittman 1:1, do not take a weed eater and blow your pant leg off, okay? But I want you to notice this. I have experience too. Experience hurts. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt everybody you know. And sometimes it leaves permanent scars that you can't take back. So don't learn by experience. A stubborn person learns by experience. A wise person learns by wisdom. That's what makes you wise. You take what God said, said, I may not understand it. I don't have the understanding of it yet, but I'm going to do it because that's what God said. I may not understand the ramifications down the road, but I'm going to do it because that's what God said. You just used wisdom when you said, I'm not going to do it. So you've got the definition, and then you've got the decisions that you have to make. Folks, you have to take, thou shalt not steal. How many of you have ever gone to a store, you bought something, and you were shopping, and you put it in your pocket because you didn't have a bag or you didn't have whatever, and you accidentally walked out with it, and then you got in the car and said, oh, I didn't pay for that. Anybody ever done that other than me? Let me see it. Okay, I see Andrew back here. He's a wicked sinner. He's done that. Now, wait a minute, Andrew. What did you do when you got out there? Okay, there's wisdom, and there's obedience. Okay? Now, experience would have happened if he didn't go there and somebody saw him and came out and arrested him. Okay? Now, how many of you heard about the guy at the Walmart recently that same thing happened? They caught him, and he shot his way out and shot two or three police officers and killed one of them, and he's going to prison for life. Very foolish. But I'm certain his parents taught him, don't steal. But it never got into understanding of his heart to agree with it. And he didn't use wisdom, he used foolishness. So all I'm trying to say to you, it's a real simple thing, but it's a process that we have to learn ourselves and teach our children. And we never stop learning. I'm 70. How many of you would like to let me show you how you can blow your pant leg off with a weed eater? No takers? Okay. So you can learn that. Now, I said when I did that, I said, I'm never going to tell a person that. But this morning I read a passage of scripture that said, the Lord spake to his heart and said, go tell them. And so I'm telling you my secret sins this morning and why I'm not so wise, because I did something dumb like that. Now, my point to you is that you're never too old to gain wisdom. Never. All of us in this room, we have to learn to get wisdom. I remember being about 26 years old. I was on a roof. And I was cutting in a vent for a plumbing pipe, and they didn't put the vent in the framers and the roofers just went right by it. And here's this pipe with shingles all around it. It's going to leak like a sieve if it rains. Okay, so they sent me out there and said, put that boot all around that pipe. I said, okay. So you got to cut the hole bigger, and I'm on the roof and I'm kind of sliding a little bit. And so everything dumb I did, you know, get a rope, put it on the other side, and that way you're held up there. So I didn't do that. I was trying to do it quickly. Anybody ever thought that I might do something quickly? Okay, so I'm up there. I got a saw. It's a long, skinny saw with a point on it. So I got this saw. So I put my hand in the little hole so I could saw around it. Now, I knew I could saw around it. But I got to go around there, right into my hand. I went, oh! And my thought was, what was I thinking? We all make a lot of decisions like that. How many have ever done this one? I'm just sharing my innermost stupidity, okay? I had a nail right up here on this thing, and I was hitting the nail. You know what happened? Has anybody here ever hit yourself in the head with a hammer? Somebody tell me, please, somebody else raise your hand. How many of you ever hit yourself in the head with a hammer? Anybody? Nobody? Oh, you guys are terrible. Y'all just let me grovel in it, okay? Well, I was hitting that. Ola? I mean, Odell, did you do that? Oh, man, I love you so much. Thank you. We're brothers in Christ, okay? Because we got knots together to share with everybody. So I was hammering on this thing, and it hit the nails, memory in me right in the head. I said, why didn't I just go in there and do it that way? Well, all I'm trying to say to you is experience or wisdom. You want to teach your children wisdom. You got to. They don't have it. That's the reason the Lord said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then your kids get to be 18 years old, and if you didn't get that facts and knowledge into their heart where they have understanding and agree with those things, they're going to use the hammer on themselves. They're going to saw their hands. They're going to blow their legs. I mean, they're going to do all kinds of dumb things. Well, these kind of things are physical things. Thankfully, I've recovered from all of them. But there are some spiritual decisions that children can make that can ruin them. And there are some spiritual decisions at 70 years old you can make that will ruin you. Notice the words. Let's go back and reread the passage. Look here. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled. Now keep in mind, they've gotten saved. He's heard about it. Now I want to pray for you that you grow. And so look what he says. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. What do you want you to do? The word of God. How do you get filled with the word of God? Can somebody tell me? And folks, this is really fundamental, but how can you get filled with the word of God? Somebody tell me. What's that? Read it. That's why I have my devotions every morning. And I don't miss because I haven't got all the knowledge I need yet. How many of you ever read something and you reread it and then it dawned on you? I need that too. Repetition aids learning. I'm a slow learner sometimes. You got to read it over and over again. Oh, that's what the Lord meant. So knowledge gets into my heart. So keep reading with me now. He says, do not cease to pray for you to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, God's word, and in all wisdom that you can make good decisions. Notice this, and spiritual understanding, that it comes from you agreeing with it. Now, and then notice the purpose, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and unto all pleasing. And keep reading. It's really a great passage. Being fruitful in every good work. I don't know about you, but I want to do every good work God wants me to do. I want to bring forth fruit. I want to be a fruitful grandfather. I want to be a fruitful husband. I want to be a fruitful pastor. So I got to do these things. I got to have wisdom. Lord, I need you. And so now let's pause for a minute very quickly. What are the directions on how we get wisdom? Number one, we must admit to ourselves we need it. You don't, how many of you ever had a headache? Let me see your hand. Okay. How many of you got bad enough to where you needed a solution? Let me see your hand. Okay. What did you do? Somebody tell me. Did you hit your finger so that your finger hurt worse than your head? That is something that works because you don't think about it as much. Anybody know what'd you do? You went and got a bottle of pills, or you called the doctor. You got a Excedrin. You got something. You did something about it. Well, you had a problem. You went for a solution. When you and I don't have the wisdom that we need to go for a solution. Number one, admit it. I need more wisdom. That would probably be all of us in this room. But all of us in this room probably wouldn't admit it. You know, the older we get, how many of you know what? When somebody gets older, what is usually their demeanor? Can you tell me? Now, I'm probably in that group, but tell me what is the normal attitude of an older person the older they get? Can somebody tell me? I'm not saying us or Christians or you, but tell me some of the characteristics of an older person the older they get. Jeanette. They're set in their ways, okay? I know this. They don't need wisdom. Never be set in your ways. Number two, something else we do. We get older. Anybody know? Get a little bit crusty. Does anybody know what that means? Can somebody tell me? I used a word that has nothing to do with personalities, but I bet you all of you got it. What is the word crusty when it comes to an elderly person? What does that mean? Somebody tell me. Brother Bobby. Don't give me a bigger word than I just gave you. I can't understand it. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's right. What's that? What'd you say? Harsh, cranky. What's that? Less tolerant. Okay. Did you know wisdom takes care of all those things? I may not feel good, but I'm not going to let everybody know it. I'm going to be a blessing to people. Fruitful in every good work. My prayers, the older I get sweeter. I try to make better decisions. I try to be a little slower so I'm pay a little more attention to people. A lot of things wisdom helps you do. Now, I want you to notice this. Number one, admit it. Number two, we must learn knowledge. You got to keep reading your Bible. Number three, we've got to want wisdom. It's a lot of things to recognize I'm old and crotchety. It's another thing saying I don't want to be that way. So you got to want to have wisdom. You got to want to make good decisions. And then the last thing, can anybody tell me what it is? If any man lack wisdom, let him go to Walmart. What does it say? If you lack wisdom, go to church. Is that what it says? If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James chapter 1. So we have to admit we don't have it. We have to want it. We've got to go to the Lord. We got read God's word so he can speak through his word. And then we have to pray. And the Lord says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And listen to this. Who giveth to all men liberally. Now, I'm going to define liberally for you and let you go here. How many of you have ever been out washing your car? You got a bucket. You put your soap in it. But it's going to take a little while for the water to get the soap filled up. And so you do something else. And you come back. And what has happened? Ken? See, Ken and our buddies, just like Odell and our buddies, because we've all done these things. Water's running all over the driveway and my soap. Okay? That's the definition of wisdom. I'm going to give it so much to you, it gets on everything and everybody, and they get it too. I'll give you wisdom. Folks, I want you to be the wisest people on earth for your sake, your testimony, and his sake, so he can please you. You can be pleasing to him. Father, thank you for your goodness today. Lord, I'm so thankful you've given us your word. I pray you'd help us to do our best to understand it. And Lord, to hide it in our heart. And Lord, we agree with it. And then, Father, we can use good wisdom to make good decisions to please you. In your name we pray. Amen.